All right, good to be in the house of God. Appreciate you being here. Hebrews 11, if you got a Bible. Next week, Brother Jay Shuler will be preaching in Sunday school hour. Brother Andrew Tonkin will be preaching at 11 o'clock. So we'll have two preachers yet next Sunday morning. And so remember that, if you will. Brother Jay Shuler, pray for him. A young man come by on a Wednesday night, played his guitar and sang, testified. And Brother Andrew's a dear brother, one we support in the mission field. And you pray for him, God would help him. And then Brother Terry Pace will be with us on Monday night through Wednesday night. And so we have a Monday morning service at 10. And Brother Andrew will preach on that Monday morning. And so if you would, there are some papers here on the revival, announcements with that, and get some of them, pass them out. If you got somebody, you can send one to in the mail. I usually just take one and just fold it like that, put their name on it, stick a stamp on it, and send it to them different people that God put on my heart. And so remember to pray for the meeting. God will meet with us. We need His help.
Yes.
And ask God to help us. And look in the book of Hebrews this morning. Brother Danny taught on verse number 23 last week. Done a good job talking about how that Moses' mother hid him 3 months. And then, of course, she after 3 months, he talked about how she let him go, put him in the hand of God, and how he was protected by the hand of God. Now, they wasn't afraid of the king's commandments. And thank God we ought to be more concerned about what God says than what the government says. And a lot of people was concerned about what the government says. I thought this morning, boy, hitting all about the wrote in the newspapers today is just bad news. Amen?
Yeah.
That's right. Thank God we got a book that's good news.
Amen.
And we ought to major on it today. Amen? That's right. I wonder sometimes how current we ought to be on current events. You know, I know we need to keep up what's going on. Understand and know that. But a lot of times I think we get too tied up in it and get too concerned about what's going on in the world instead of heaven. Amen. What our affection is and where, you know, I mean, here's the thing. I think we as the people of God's got a responsibility as Christians to do what we ought to do as a citizen of the United States. I think it, you know, some people disagree with me. That's fine too. I think it is a responsibility of every citizen to vote. I think they ought to do that. I think they ought to take a stand for what's right. As best God gives us ability to. I'm not in the protesting business. I don't believe God wants us to go out and hold up signs and protest like that. But I do believe He wants us to pray and declare the gospel and be faithful in the witness of God, because this world's not our home. At the same time, we're to stand for what's right. And I believe that's our responsibility as the people of God. And so thank God I'm glad I am an American. Amen. I'm going to live in a free country where I can come to the house of God and worship today, enjoy the privileges that God's given me as a citizen of the United States. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to take for granted the fact that I can come in a vehicle this morning, enter the back doors of this house of God, come in here and preach what we believe the Word of God is. And thank God we don't have somebody having to guard the church, whether somebody's going to come in and take us out and haul us out to and put us in the jailhouse. Thank God I'm glad we have that privilege today. I mean, our liberties are being diminished little by little. As far as what we believe as the Word of God and what we stand for today, if we keep standing for what we believe in the Bible, we are getting worse tribulations and trials, because they're against God. This world hates God. And we as once of the world, we're not of it now. We're of the people of God. But at the same time, we know that there is coming hardships upon this country today. Well, the book of God said, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want to speak a few things about these verses here. And of course, it is by faith. It's by faith Moses, when he was come to years, and he become to his manhood. Of course, you know his mother, as Brother Danny taught on, made an ark of bulrushes there and put him in the river. And we see, thank God, that God protected him. And, of course, Pharaoh's daughter found him, brought him out, gave him to his mother, Jochebed. She took care of him, got paid to do it. And then later on, he was raised in the household of Pharaoh's daughter. And when he was come to years and became a man of the manhood, the Bible said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I want to say Moses was a great man. Yes. He was a great man there, right there. He knew, I believe this, if you read the book of Acts chapter 7, verses around 23, 24, when Stephen was preaching that message there, he mentioned this in the scripture about Moses coming to years, that Moses knew that God had something for him, that he was to be the deliverer of the Israelites. In fact, that's why Moses tried to deliver them earlier than what God wanted him to. Of course, the Egyptian and the Israelite was fighting, and he slew the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. And it was just an attempt to deliver Israel or the Israelite slaves there before the time that God had set up for him to do it. And of course, God's always got his timing. I think a lot of times we try to get ahead of God, and we miss God. And I do. I mean, I'm an impatient person. I don't know about you. Most people's got some of that in them. Some people's a whole lot worse than others. They want it done now. Amen? That's right. The older you get and the more you go through, you learn that, hey, God's got a timing in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people learn that quicker than other people. Some people learn, thank God, to tell you, I've got to be patient. I've got to cheerfully endure these things and go through them. I can't change them. There's nothing I can do about this. Wait on God. And I think, you know, you take about it, he said, tribulation work of patience. You go through hardship, that works patience. It teaches you that. Amen. I always thought I had a handle on everything, to face some things I couldn't handle. Amen. A lot of people think they got a handle on something, they face things they can't handle. What's he going to do then, preacher? I'm going to wait on God. I ain't got no other choice. Amen. That's what you have to do sometimes. And sometimes God will give you a quick escape. I'm not saying he won't. But there's a lot of times God says, wait a while. It's not the timing yet. And, you know, if you look in the Bible, as many as things that God spoke about that, even you think about the day he went to get Lazarus out of the tomb, he'd been there 4 days. Well, Jesus knew what was going on, thank God. He allowed him to die that he could bring him out of the grave. Amen. That's right. It's all for the glory of God, for the hand of God to be in it. Man couldn't get no glory in it. Lester Roloff said one time, he said, I want God to do something that man couldn't blame me for. Amen. That's right. It's all God. That's all you can say about it. And he uses human instruments. He used Moses, a great man. And he said when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I thought about he refused a title. Amen. I mean, he refused more than a title. But he would rather have the Lord than have the title and the privileges of the court of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, men's caught up in titles today. They like titles, you know. And I'm not going to get off on all that, but I just want to say that you are what you are by the grace of God.
Amen.
Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
He said, I like what John said. They said, who are you? He said, I'm a voice. Cried in the wilderness. I'm a voice. He doesn't give all his credentials. Amen. He's filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. John didn't go down a line of credentials to try to prove to man what he was. And I think a lot of times in this day, people want a title. And no matter what it gets, they want a title. I've seen churches have problems because men want a title. You see what I'm saying? When I first come here, there's a man come here. I like the man. He gave me some commentaries. I didn't know he was wanting a title. I didn't know that. I just preached and you know, tried to lead the church the way God wanted us to. Church tried to say so in the matters and vote and get together. And he didn't get to be a deacon in the church. And he said, he come to me at church. He said, I just can't understand why I wasn't voted as a deacon. That's what he said. And I said, well, I said, you know, that just wasn't the way God led the church. And he said, well, he packed his bag and left. I mean, listen, friend, you're not here for that. You're here to glorify God because it's the will of God. I mean, here's the way I look at it. When people want a title, when they want to be called something, and listen, you don't have to be called anything to do what God wants you to do. You don't have to have a title. Amen. That God gives titles in the Bible. But the fact of it is, I'm not a reverend. Amen. That's right. He said in Psalm 111 verse 9, reverend and holy is his name. Well, that's a title of Jesus Christ. That's the title of God. I don't get offended at that. I used to tell people don't call me that. And I don't really get offended. People come up, you know, at funeral homes, different places, say, how are you today, Reverend Hyatt? I don't say nothing to them to say I'm all right. How are you, sir? Amen. I mean, Paul never looked to get titled. He always said, I'm Paul the Apostle. He never said, I'm the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm Paul the Apostle. He said, I'm a minister. I come to serve. Thank God the best title any man could have would be servant.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thank God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. And so he refused a title. He refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. In fact, he wasn't wanting to. He refused, thank God, some privileges in that court. And, you know, I know it's been said, and I don't know whether, you know, it's 100% that he would have been in line maybe to be in the line of Pharaoh. I don't know that. He was an Israelite. He wasn't an Egyptian. Even though he was raised here in this house. Thank God he was taught a lot of things right there. God used him. And you know, a lot of people say, well, I was learned here, but then I got saved. Hey, God allowed that to teach you some things. God can use a secular world. God help us now. Don't take this wrong. But God can use some secular world and secular teaching in your lost estate and then God save you and turn around. Thank God to turn it into something good for him.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. God's not limited. God can take what he wants to. God take your personality and use it for the glory of God. Amen. That's why everybody's got a different personality.
Amen.
There's a lot of that's what's wrong with a lot of churches. They got a lot too. You know, they want people to be just like everybody else. Maybe personality conflicts, you know what I'm saying? I wonder why that fella don't talk as much, because that's not his personality.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. In fact, it'd be better for a man to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Amen.
Amen.
That's the book. He said over there in Ecclesiastes, let your words be few when you're in the house of God.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. But that's just personality. You know, and that's what was going on in Corinth. They had personality conflicts. I'm Paul's man. I'm Paulus. I'm Cephas. And, you know, the problem was it was all a personality. That's basically what it was. And you and I both know that we do hit with certain people. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, does that make us right and them wrong? No. The fact of it is, it's not the title you have, it's what you are, thank God, and how you seek the Lord and do His will. I tell you what that word refuse means. It means to disavow, to contradict, to reject, or deny. He actually refused to go the world's way. He would not let them hold him captive. He would not submit to them. Listen to this. If Moses had submitted to being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he would have had to submit to some of them ways of that culture and that idolatrous living. That's right. Amen. You know today some of the toughest decisions you'll ever make as a child of God? Some of the toughest decisions you'll ever make as a child of God comes down whether you're going to refuse some things that people that have that might have helped you do something here or there or might have strong influence in your life at one time or another. And you're going to have to refuse some of the things they want you to do.
Amen.
If you don't refuse that, hey man, we got to get to the place, thank God, in our own life that we want to please God above everybody else. And God's got a perfect plan for me. I cannot be bound or tied down to what man thinks or what man wants if I'm going to do the will of God as a man of God. As a Christian, you can't do that. Oh, I don't want hearts or feelings. Dear God, you cannot live for God the way God wants you to and somebody not get offended once in a while. It's a fact. It's just a fact. There's no such a thing, thank God, as a contemporary religion that everybody likes and we can get along with everybody. It don't happen that way. There's a choice to be made and you'll either accept or refuse it. Amen. Listen to what Corinthians writer said. He said, what agreement had the temple of God with idols?
Yes, he did.
Amen. What agreement had the temple of God with idols? What agreement? You know, David said that day Saul, Goliath was cursing Israel. And David that went down there and he looked at all what was going on. He was pure in the heart. He said, "What? He's blaspheming God. He's blaspheming my God. He's blaspheming the God of Israel. He's going to do something about it." He said, "I'll fight him." Old Saul, you know what he said? He said, "Here, take my armor." He said, "I can't go with these." That's what Moses is saying. I can't go with this. I can't go with it. Hey, there's something in every child of God today that rejects and refuses anything that's not of faith. That's right. There's something in me, even though my flesh is pulled that way a lot of times, that the Holy Ghost just says no. He refuses it. Amen. I tell you what, he'll refuse anything that's not the truth. And it don't matter who's spitting it out. Amen. He won't accept anything that's not the truth. He'll refuse it. And that's what Moses said. I'm refusing to come into an agreement with a crowd of people that reject the God of Israel. Amen. And go the way of idolatry and be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I might have my friend the things of life here in this court. He said, "But I refuse to be called her son. I'm not her son." Amen. That's right. Her son, thank God, my friend, his mother was Jochebed, not Pharaoh's daughter. And I'm going to tell you this. It took faith, thank God, to believe God would bless him for that decision because he was doing the right thing. I'm going to ask you one thing. Has there ever been a time in your life when you had to make a decision? You knew it was the right thing, and everybody else looked at you like, "What you doing?" You knew it was God. I tell you, you can just step on good, peaceful ground and say, "Glory to God. It don't matter if the whole world hates me. I'm going Jesus." Amen. Amen. That's right, buddy. I tell you, I've had people, especially when I got saved by the grace of God, there was people that didn't like what I said, what I preached when I started preaching. And I had people looking at me. I had an old man that let me preach in the church. He come to me and told me, and I standing flat footed right there with him that day. He said, "If you don't get some education," he said, "you'll never be much in preaching." That's what he told me. I said, "Well, yes, sir. What?" I said, "I appreciate your instruction there," and I left it like that. Amen. I tell you what, friend, thank God if the Holy Ghost don't educate a man, he won't know nothing anyhow. Amen. I'm not against it if that's what God wants. It wasn't what God wanted for me. But what I'm saying is, I felt like that everybody was against me because I wouldn't do what everybody wanted me to do. But I realized God didn't want me to do it, and I stood peaceful with God, knowing I refused to do what Pharaoh wanted me to do. Amen. That's right. Thank God. You know, here's the thing in the Christian life. Here's the thing. Christian life is a learning process.
Yes.
Being saved is by grace through faith. Grace teaches a man. I understand that. But being saved and living for God is a learning process.
Yeah.
There's things that, thank God, Brother Wayne Henderson talked about, you know, how that you got there to the labor and you got clean. There's some things in progressiveness of life in Christian living that a man is taught. Now, I'm going to tell you what. You ain't all clean. I'm talking about far as there's things you still need to deal with in your own life. If a man thinks he's arrived, he hadn't arrived. Any man thinks he's where he ought to be, he's probably not where he ought to be. Amen? I mean, even Paul said, "I'm a wretched man. Oh, wretched man that I am." He knew in a mature Christian life that there was still some plagues of the flesh around him.
Right.
But I'm telling you what, there is growth in grace.
Amen.
That's right. You know, I was thinking about that this week. You take that little old baby there. Just a newborn baby. Well, a baby can't do what an adult can.
Right.
Why would we think that child there could understand like the daddy can? Because of the years of growth that he's got much more years than that little old child. And we think, you know, we want to see people like this and like that. And the first thing a preacher will do or a church will do is when that little old one's born again, they think they ought to be that mature. They ain't not going to be that mature. They have steps of growth in grace. There's areas that God does things here and God does things here and God does things here and God does things here. And what it is, God putting His own hand of mercy on them and showing them what God says and giving them the grace to live it. Amen. That's right. Thank God I can go through my life. I can go through my life and tell you, hey, it took years of just God bringing me to some things. And you know, get this here. Listen to me right now. This is I'm speaking this from what I think is some maturity. The word perfect means mature. That's what he said. Be perfect. Talks about perfection over there. That's being the full age. I'm saying this with somewhat of a mature mind. I don't know how mature I am sometimes. But I will say this. You know when God started separating me and giving me convictions and things in my life and separating me? Do you know what I done when I first got them things? Praise God. I don't do that. You ever done that before? Praise God. I tell you what, I wouldn't do that. God give you that conviction. But now as a mature man, I don't think like that. I don't think like that. I just think, you know, thank God the Lord worked it in my life. Amen. It's all God. He don't keep me in that. I wouldn't be in it. Amen. That's right. I mean, it's just something God works in. It's not something you boast in or you think about. It's something that God worked in that becomes a natural action in your life that you don't boast in, but you thank God that He taught you these things. And that's the fact, friend. I mean, that's just the working of God. That's the way God works. And so Moses, he refused to go the way of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't. Thank God bought out by the world and their attractions. Egypt's a type of the world. Egypt's a type of the world in the Bible. It's a place of bondage. It's a place of idolatry. There's more idolatry in Egypt than I say in about any country there is, any land there is. About they said what they say that there was more statues and more idolatrous drawings. Said it was more in Egypt, more of that than there would be men in the land. That's how much people worship idols and worship things they see. And that's what men are caught up today, even in America. Even in America today, it's an idolatrous nation. Television has been the biggest producer and promoter of idolatry, I think, in America. I mean, they promote everybody to be something they're not, and you take the day of the system of this world and how the crown of this world is. Most people follow after the system of this world, and it's all an idolatrous way, friend, that denies God, denies the Bible, and denies the true God that we ought to worship. Right. Amen. That's right. Let me give you this, and I'll be finished. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, chapter verse 25, he said this. He said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. I mean, you take a man that chose to suffer, that chose to go through trials, than to enjoy the pleasure of sin. That's rare.
Yeah.
That is a rare man that God would give grace and faith to do that. I mean, think about this. Could we say it like this? That if Moses had chose to, he could have had anything he wanted. Could we say it like this? That he chose to take for himself suffering and afflictions and trials and be numbered with the Israelites that didn't have nothing but God. He chose that way instead of having everything that Egypt had to offer. The word pleasure there takes the meaning of excitement, merriment, or amusement. What does that get you thinking about? I mean, really, the church world today as a whole is a worldly people. Our lives are built more around pleasure than they are God. You know I'm telling you the truth. We're built that way. People say, I'd give it up at any time. I doubt that. That's right. It takes a long time to give up a lot of things. Because the fact of it is, they become They become a bondage to the flesh of man. And when somebody's offered this and you say, well, I don't know why they're doing all that. I'm telling you why. That's the way their flesh is.
Right.
Get this here. He had the opportunity of having a wealth. He could have been wealthy. He had the opportunity of being comforted in the flesh. He could have lived comfortable. Friend, I'm telling you, everything we have is a blessing of God today. It's a blessing of God. I mean, it's a blessing of God. But we live more comfortable today than I tell you, any generation about ever lived in America.
Amen.
I mean, we are the biggest complainers and murmurers that I ever seen in the nation today. People, just, if they don't have everything what they think they ought to have, they some of the most discontent people ever put on shoes. It's sad. But it's just the God's truth. I mean, we got to live by what we see more than the God of heaven. And I'm going to tell you, Moses had to make a choice. Look at all what you got here. You're going to either have the pleasures of sin and enjoy life, or you're going to have to suffer. That's right. I'm going to tell you what, living for God is not easy. Man says it's easy to live for God. He's deceived. He's not telling the truth. Hey, number one, he's got to get beyond himself to live for God. Amen. That's right. Number two, he's got to get beyond the world. The world's got a lot to offer out there. I mean, it's good looking. The world's got allurements. The world's got amusements.
Yes.
Just think about the sensual enjoyment, social world of lust and gratification. The life of drink, dance, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It appeals to the flesh. It's all fleshly. That's why you got to go back and get some more of it. Now, some men are never satisfied. That's right. He could have had a beautiful Egyptian woman. He could have had all that he wanted, friend. He could have stayed right there. And can I say like they say today? He didn't want for nothing. That's what he could have had. You know what's sad today? When the church people want the world more than want what God's got. Isn't we on a fast track system today to hell in this world? I mean, really, think about it. I look at people today and I'm thinking, nobody's content hardly. Everybody's just always trying to get more. I gotta have more. All of us have bent like that a little bit, some more than others. I mean, son, I ain't getting on you women, but they can have 40 pair of shoes, and if they saw another pair, they'd want another pair. Amen. And a man can have 15 shotguns, but if he goes out to the pawn shop and sees that other one he don't have, he's going to want that one.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
You ever thought about this? God help us all. We all probably got more than what we need.
Right, my goodness.
Yeah. Man, I got pants in my closet about that high up there on the rack. I couldn't wear them all in 4 years. I'd have to take them all, wash them every day, take a pair every day and throw them out there. I probably got 12 pair of pants up there. I probably got about 12 suits hanging in my closet. We'll go down to them thrift stores, son. We'll look down through that line, son. If I see them pants I like, I say, I believe I'll get that pair there. I got about 15 pair at home. You see, what I'm saying is, it's all in us. It's just the way it is. I'm not saying it's a sin to do that. I'm just basically saying that our flesh is so geared to that way instead of trusting God. And that's what's happening this day. Moses said, I'm going to God. I mean, the pleasure of sin is only for a season. I mean, it don't last. Sin's on. There is. I mean, he said to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So it looks like to me that there is some enjoyment in temporary pleasure.
There is.
Sure. Amen. Even God didn't say. He over there said, Timothy, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That they love pleasure more than God. That's why the racetrack's full on Sunday, the football stadium, baseball stadium, basketball stadium. And no matter what time they play, I got that ticket now.
Yep.
Amen. I got that ticket. I wouldn't want to take the Lord's Day to do it. I ain't against ball. I like it myself, but because I'm a competitor, but I surely wouldn't take God's Day to go to no ball game, lay at the house of God. Yeah. Go to the racetrack. I just ain't messing with that. But I'm just saying this. That's the day we end. And that's what the testimony of the church is in this hour, that there's no commitment to God, and we'd rather enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, just a little while. Let me have it a little while. And anyway, he chose the life of the Israelites over the worldly pleasures and over what his flesh could enjoy. And that's always a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Always. When you get ready to read your Bible, just remember one thing. The flesh will tell you what you ought to be doing.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, man, but I tell you what, and I ain't just saying this. God's given me a pretty good memory, but a lot of it's a bunch of flesh. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, I don't have to read something at one time and remember, hey, that's going on right now. You know what I'm saying? And you get down there to pray, and you get down there and ask God, and get a hold of God, and start praying to God, and all of a sudden that thought comes in your hand. Hey, you remember what that's going on over there? You need to get over there. You get reading your Bible, and all of a sudden you get to think about that hamburger you'd like to go to McDonald's and pick up. You ever get like that?
Amen.
I do, buddy. I'll get reading my Bible, and I'll say, I need to read the Word of God. I'll get in there and start reading. I'll read about 5 or 10 minutes and feel pretty good about reading. All of a sudden, that hunger strike gets me. Says, hey, there's a Big Mac down there at McDonald's you need to go get.
Got your name.
That's right. You know what? I'm ready to go get it too, buddy. Amen. 2 all-beef patties. That's right. Because it's going to satisfy me instead of just reading through in the Word of God and staying with God. Amen. God feed me something and get something from God. I'm just saying that we're so geared to these ways that we can't discipline ourselves. Amen. And say, hey, I'm refusing. And I'm choosing rather than suffering. Go through these hardships. And I might do God's will instead of being in the sin, my friend, and the pleasures of it for a season. Amen. That's right. And I'm going to tell you what. The devil will never tell you the consequence of it.
No.
Never will. He'll always tell you the fun of it, the excitement of it. What kind of joy it brings you. Don't bring no joy. Folly is joy to him that's destitute of wisdom. Anything satisfies the flesh. Amen. And here's the thing. I know I can get up here and talk all this stuff, but I wasn't in Moses' shoes, friend. I wasn't in his shoes to say, hey, look what you got here, buddy. I mean, we the number one family in this crowd. We got anything we want. You can have anything you want. Now, us are God. But I just want you to know, if you go with God, you got to suffer through life.
Yes.
I'll tell you one thing, friend. It put a man to the test right fast. That's right. And the convictions have fell off the table, brother. They fell plumb off the table. They fell off the table. He said truth falling in the streets. Where's it at today when it comes down to it? And I'm going to tell you this. You better put her down, buddy. Until you get in your own heart that contentment in Christ, I know that it don't matter, praise God, what you go through or where you at, long as you have Him and He'll take care of you. Until you get there, you'll always be pulled easy.
Mm-hmm.
You'll always be pulled easy by the pleasures of this life and all them things that get a hold of you and pull you. And when you look back, you'll say, you know, there wasn't a bit of profit in it. It only was for a season and it did not last. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. If a man's going to live for God, he's got to determine it. He's got to determine it in his own heart. And that's, I know grace, God's got to give you grace. But I'm going to tell you what, it is conditional to a man that if a man will love God, he'll keep his commandments. Yes, sir. And he will not be fearful of what the king's commandment is, and he won't be fearful, thank God. And somebody said, look at all what you're losing. No, look at all what I'm gaining.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody said, you're taking a big chance of losing a lot of things the world's got to offer. No, I'm not losing nothing. I'm gaining. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What's it going to profit you if you gain the whole world? What would it profit Moses to go the idolater's way, be called her son, and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season?
Right.
It'd only be for a season. That's right. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. Only Jesus can satisfy a man's soul.
Amen.
There's only one. I don't care what you do in life, friend. I don't care what you obtain in life, far as possessionally. It will not satisfy. It will not. It will not. Amen. It'll meet the need. Thank God for that. And it'll be enjoyment to have something nice. But I'm telling you, it will never get down in your soul and say, yes, hallelujah, like the Holy Ghost does in the truth of God. I'll tell you, I know that's right. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, use your word. God in heaven, I thank you today, God, I chose the right way. I'm glad, God, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. Oh, God, thank you for that hope we have in Christ. Lord, help us set our affection on things above. And God, use your word to accomplish your will as it please you in Jesus' name. Amen.